The New Testament lesson today is the second Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we commend you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsible and not according to the traditions that they received from us. For yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not irresponsible when we were with you. We do not eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we work night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this commandment. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat, for we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, mere busybodies, and not doing any work. Not such persons we command or exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right.
So, the gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Hear the words of the Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is going to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' And, 'The time is near, do not go after them.' When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. And you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, when I was growing up and I would read the Bible, and I didn't really have a good understanding of the history and how things came about and who wrote what, It was not until I went to seminary and they taught us how to study the scripture, not just the words, but who wrote them, when they were written. This is the thing. This gospel was written about 85 of the Common Era. 15 years after the Romans had destroyed the temple. In other words, these words were written to explain deeds that had already happened. Jesus had come, the temple had been destroyed, and now people, 15 years later, were trying to make sense of it all. And God gave these words to us to just be remember. We all have things in our past. We all have things that we remember. We all have reflections of events that have happened. This is a reflection. And it's a great reminder to us that the things of our human achievement, the things that we make great, the things that we work so hard to develop and build, well, they're not permanent. Some things kind of last. It was just about this time last year when I was in Turkey and in Greece, and we were walking actually amongst the ruins of the Colosseum. So there are always signs of what people have done, but they're not permanent. And I believe that God says to us, there's something else. Let me read verse 6 again. As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. In other words, our focus shouldn't be on these things that we create here on this earth, the things that give us joy or pleasure. And I'm not saying, please hear me carefully, I'm not saying those are bad things at all. Actually, you know, we have to have something to occupy our time, right? We can't all just read all day long. But God is saying to all of us, that's fantastic. I'm so glad you build. I'm so glad you are together and you have cities and that you work together to improve this land. Just remember, those aren't the important things. I grieve sometimes. This is what's happened to me. I've lost my favorite jacket. I can't find it. I have no idea where it is. I've had it for over 20 years, I think over 25 years, I can't remember exactly. I wear it all the time, and apparently I wore it somewhere and thought maybe it had a better home there. I don't know. But for the last 3 weeks, I have been searching for that jacket. I have searched the same place like at least 18 times. Did I really look in that closet in the back of the house? Yes. 18 times, but go ahead, look again. There's something about stuff. It gets in our soul, it gets in our heart. Those things that God says to us, those are not permanent. Enjoy that jacket while you can. Now I hope wherever it is that somebody else is enjoying it. I'm going to keep looking. Oh, I promise I will. I've scoured this building, I've scoured that building. I'm going to keep looking. But our focus, my focus, needs not to be on that object that is here today and, well, gone now. God says, think about what's most important. In this passage, Jesus is talking to people trying to get them ready, trying to help them realize we're close to the end of Luke. We're getting closer and closer to the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus is trying to help the disciples understand, don't hold so tightly to stuff that doesn't last, including sometimes people. And Jesus says, be prepared. God never promised any of us that it would be easy. Jesus never promised any of the disciples that it would be easy. The closest he came was when he said, "Here, let me take your burden upon me, and I will help you get through it." But there's something in our brains. And God says hardships are there for all of us. Sometimes it seems that some people have the harder hardships. It seems like their life doesn't go too smoothly at any point in time. And yet they endure. They keep going. So then I look at my life and I think, holy cow, it's been so easy. It really has been easy. If the worst thing that happens to me is that I've lost my jacket, heavenly days, Laura Kay, as my mother would say. Hardships are there for all of us. And sometimes it doesn't seem fair. But in verse 19, it says, "By your endurance, you will gain your souls." God is preparing all of us to remember that if we trust in God's love, if we remind ourselves that Jesus will give us the words, Jesus will give us the wisdom, Jesus will give us the confidence to face each day. We may feel like we're shaking in our shoes, but if we hold on to that which is the most important, we'll be okay. David Livingston was a missionary to Africa, and he prayed, "Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me." That's an amazingly bold prayer, isn't it? Dear Lord, send me anywhere, lay any burden on me. And this is what David Livingston, I believe, knew. That what really sustains us is not the jacket, it's not the stuff, it's not even our relationships with each other, and those are incredibly important, maybe the most important. But what sustains us is that promise from Matthew 28. Do you remember? "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Some people have translated that, "even to the end of the age." For those of us who say we profess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that is the promise that we need to cling to. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about you. I get distracted. I get distracted so easily. You know, jackets get lost. But I need to cling to this promise. God is with me always, no matter where I go, no matter what I do. My dad was a bomber pilot in World War II. And he would say throughout the rest of his life, that what gave him courage to fly all of those missions over Europe was the fact that he believed in his heart exactly what this says. God is with me always, no matter what. No matter what happens to my body, no matter what happens in these next few minutes, God is with me and sustains me. So, we're to be reminded that we trust in God, especially in the midst of hardships. I don't know about you, but when hardships happen to me, my first thought is panic. My second thought is, well, maybe more panic. That'll help. I'm sure that'll help. And maybe a little bit more panic because, you know, the first two panic episodes didn't help. So let's... that's never solved anything for me. Has it for you? The same with anger. The same with frustration. Those things don't solve anything for me unless Those are the very things that remind me that my hope is in Jesus Christ, and everything else is just fluff and sometimes nonsense. But my hope belongs in Jesus Christ. Isn't that how people of faith should respond? When I was in seminary, we had lots and lots of discussions, and some of them were theological, and, you know, because of where we were, a lot of them were about basketball. But I think we're going to do okay this year, too, so, you know, rest assured. But this is what we always needed to remember. This is what we always needed to remember. That our trust and our faith is in God. No matter what. That God is present with us, even when it feels like the world is closing in on us, even when it feels like there is no hope, even when it feels like I'm not even sure what my next moment will be. Isn't that how people of faith are to respond? It worries me a little bit when I hear some of the things that come out of my mouth, or when I know the thoughts that are in my head. That as a person of faith, I am to represent exactly that. That it'll be okay. It may not turn out the way we think. It may mean that some of us won't be here as long as we think. It may mean that I have to kind of reorganize what I believe was going to happen and hang on to the fact that God is with us. I love this passage. It was Jesus explaining to the people, it really will be okay. It was Jesus teaching. But did you notice that this passage in Luke 21, that it began with verse 5? Did anybody notice that? And did anybody think, wait a minute, we're missing out on something. What about the first four passages? Why did we just skip those? Well, I kind of wondered that too, because this is what the first four passages say. Chapter 21, verse 1, Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts in the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty. What she put in was all she had to live on." I think when they were putting this together, I think when they were organizing the liturgies for the calendar years, for some reason they pulled those four out and put them someplace else. It's not in the lectionary. But I wonder if that's really what we need to focus on. We see the destruction of the temple. We see that we will be persecuted. We see that things are not always going to be wonderful. But we have to go back to this. For all the people have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. This is a person who understands that God is all she has. And if I don't put everything, my whole being, everything, into trusting God, I'm lost. Life isn't always easy. There's not a person in this room that doesn't understand that. And yet, we're asked to live this life of faith. We're asked to live our lives believing each and every day that no matter what happens to us, that God is God, and God created us, and God loves us completely. The disciples needed to understand. I think that's why Jesus had them in the temple, because for so long people revered the temple. And they thought, oh, if only I could get to the temple. If only I could be in the presence of God. And Jesus is saying, please hear me. God is everywhere you are. God was there before you. God understands. Some of you probably already know the legend of Thomas Dorsey. He was born in 1889 in rural Georgia. He lived a life of just poverty and worked hard. But eventually, he made it to Chicago, and he became an incredible musician. He was a songwriter. He wrote wonderful things. He wrote gospel, and he also wrote blues. And for a while, he played in clubs and in churches around Chicago. And then he realized that that wasn't right. And so, after a very turbulent life, he dedicated himself to God. In August of 1932, he was asked to go to a revival in St. Louis. And so he traveled from Chicago to St. Louis, and he left his young wife, who was expecting their first child. After the very first night, he received a telegram. His wife had died in childbirth. Please come home. And so he left immediately. And when he got home, he realized that not only did his wife die, but his baby boy had also died. And so for the longest time, he lived in grief and despair. And he didn't know what to do, and he didn't know where to go, but somehow he dug deep enough inside that he realized God made me for music. And he sat down at the piano, and he felt this peace wash over him, and he just started playing, and he came up with this melody. And he wrote this song. Do you know it? And it goes like this. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. That's the power of God. May we remember, and may we follow. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.